I'm reading, that prayer calls me to be reminded of a scripture I was reading yesterday in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 27, in verse 3, the Lord said, verse 2, he says, in that day sing to her a vineyard of red wine. The vineyard is Israel. And for New Testament application, the vineyard is the church. Okay? He says, sing to her. Verse 3, he says, I, the Lord, keep it, this vineyard. I, the Lord, keep it. The psalm says, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. You, beloved, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, verse 9, around in that area says, you are kept by the power of God. You are kept, beloved. And I'm reading this because, you know, when you read the word of God, you're not always, you know, words just don't live. I mean, just not popping out of you all the time. So when you hear it afresh, it's renewed in your own spirit. The Lord says, I'm keeping you. The Lord says, I keep it, this vineyard. I water it. Listen, every moment I water it, every moment, which means every moment of your existence. Every moment of my existence, I'm being watered. Ephesians 5 says that he washes the bride with the water of his word. When his word washes over you, it washes you, it cascades over you, right? So I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. Listen, I keep it night and day. Talk about words for meditation. Just letting your mind be stayed on him that way. It's just such a powerful thought, powerful imagery that God is keeping you night and day, meaning there's not a moment that he's not keeping you. We give God thanks. We give God praise. Last week I preached in response to the Supreme Court ruling of same-sex marriage and which was needful. And then this week, as I was listening to news radio and so forth, comes all the proclamations or potential woes of what will be happening next, religious liberty and so forth, and things being taken away, some would say. And at some point, though, in my mind, I thought to myself that we got this thing all mixed up, because when we hear what man has done, all of a sudden, we forget what God is doing. Hello. Once we hear, you know, when that Supreme Court ruling came down, it's like people were, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I thought to myself, every time I read the Bible, every time I open up God's word, he's talking to me about what he's doing, what he's done, and what he's going to do. And as we said last week, he's not up in heaven wringing his hands, worrying about what he's going to do next. Right? And this in a society where if you think we're bad, if you think we're different, and we are, but first century Rome, beloved, first century Rome, if Paul were so concerned with secular leaders, it is understood, it is believed that Paul was martyred under the emperor Nero. Nero had his wife killed, murdered, and was sleeping with a teenage boy. What would happen if Obama had Michelle axed and brought in a humble, what do you think of that? I mean, you want something really bad? I mean, people say, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, beloved, first century Rome was, it was a hot mess. Thank you. It was a hot mess. And yet, Jesus was on the throne. The Roman Empire ended. That kingdom came to an end. But he is of a kingdom that shall never end. And so the church is here today. God's kingdom is ruling. And so I titled this message, God Cannot Be Stopped. because as I thought about the ruling, and my mind began to be flooded with, son, this is what I'm doing, and what I'm doing, no one can stop it. No one. And I started to get all beside myself as I'm listening to the words of Scripture and of my Heavenly Father. And so I want to read a little bit of Isaiah 43. The Isaiah 40s are some very powerful reading about God declaring himself who he is. Not us. He's in his own words. He tells you who he is. But let me read a little bit of Isaiah. Father, as we come to this word, Lord, help us now. Help me. And Lord, as it's read, as it's taught, as it's considered, Lord, may your word bring new life, Lord, and peace and strength, edification to your people, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Ever wondered who you belong to? This settles it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory. Every Christian, you are created for his glory. Talk about significance. The world is looking for significance. In everything, they're looking for significance. God gives it. He's right here. I made you in my image. I created you for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Then he goes on down in verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me. God chose us so that we might know him and believe him. And understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I love when he talks like this. I mean, I just say, man, that's my father talking like that. You can't mess with him. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no savior. That's pretty narrow. You Christians, that's really narrow. Well, he said it. I believe it. There is no savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. And there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. Listen to what God says here. I work, and who will reverse it? I work. And who will reverse it? As I take my title, God cannot be stopped. What he's doing, I don't care what court, what man, it doesn't matter who says, does anything. God says, I cannot be stopped. My purpose and my will has been set. He says, listen, if I set it, it's over. It's done. If he says it, it's already done. Amen. Amen. This is where we are. So it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. It doesn't matter what they do. Because my focus is not going to be on you, man. My focus and my attention is going to be on God. Amen. So what is God doing? What is this thing? He cannot be stopped. What is he doing? What God is doing, what he has purposed and what he is building, has not been, is not being, nor can it be annulled by man. Ecclesiastes 8:4. I love this. Says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Lord Jesus. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And so with every word that God speaks comes the power to bring that word to pass. Every word that he speaks, we understand this, you see. That's why when you go and preach the gospel to someone, and that person gets saved, the power to get saved was in the word that was preached. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When it's preached, comes the power then to resurrect, to cause one who is dead in sins to be made alive. Why? Because God said it, because God spoke it. And in his command is everlasting life. Jesus said that. I quoted, or we looked at that last week. What is God doing? This was just reiterated to me this past week. You know, in light of the decision and any other decision that any court makes. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we know it well. What is God doing? He's building his church. Jesus said about Peter, he said in verse 18 of Matthew 16, and I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Listen, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell. Now, which is a spiritual thing, the gates of hell. Not only will man can't stand against it, but the strategies of hell cannot stop what I'm going to do in these people, the church. So what is he doing? Jesus is building his church. He's been building it for over 2,000 years. You're his church. The word church in the Greek is ekklesia. Ekklesia. Ekklesia means called out. Called out. Hallelujah. Listen, you are not a member of the church unless Jesus called you out of darkness and into the light. You're not a member of the church unless Jesus calls you out of the world and into his kingdom, right? We understand this because all throughout the scriptures, when we're reminded when Jesus called his apostles, he said that he was walking past a receipt of custom and he saw Matthew and he called him and Matthew got up and he came. Now listen, I submit to you, Matthew couldn't come unless Jesus had called him. And so every one of his people, every member of his church, of the ecclesia, has been called by Jesus. So what is Jesus doing? He's calling lost people out of darkness into his marvelous light. He was doing it before the Supreme Court announcement and or decision, and he's doing it now. And he will continue to do it, and there's nothing the world can do about it. Hello? I said there's nothing the world can do about it. He's saving people from death. He's glorifying his great name, and no one can stop him. But he's called the church, the called out ones. You are, I am saved today because Jesus called us. Because the Father. Now remember in this verse 18 right here, this verse, the preceding verse said this. Jesus said unto them, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, thou art Peter. He says, and flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. The Father called. And Peter, the call opened up Peter's ear so that he could hear and understand who Jesus is, who Jesus was. God continues to call. Romans 1:17. Let me read this real quick. Romans 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience and faith among all nations for his name. Listen to verse 6. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus. Listen, beloved, what the church is, the called out ones, is very significant and very powerful, simply because there would be no church if Jesus had not called anyone. And how's he building his church? But by calling. He calls. Remember Zacchaeus was up in that tree? And Jesus looked up. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Oh, my goodness. He said, come on down. I got to stay in your house today. And salvation came to that house. Amen. Salvation came to that house that day. Why? Because Jesus called. It wasn't because Zacchaeus was up in the tree. It was because Jesus called, right? And so Romans 1:6 says here, among whom you are also are the called of Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You're a saint today because God has called you to be a saint. You're a saint today because before you were even born, God called you to be a saint. Hallelujah. That's why I'm a saint today. And that's why there are people around the globe coming to faith in Jesus Christ, because he's calling them. He's calling many Muslim and Arab peoples through dreams and visions of angels. And so he's calling them and they're coming to him. You see? Yes. Romans 8:28. We know this verse all the more better. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, God had a purpose in Jesus Christ, and he called you and I into it. He's called those out of the world into it. And he's making us up of the church, those of who love Jesus Christ, who are the called. Even as I was saying earlier, that woman I met when I was cleaning carpet, she was called into the kingdom. And she was my sister, ours, her brother. Why? Because we're all called in one, Jesus Christ. So those who are called, all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, a couple verses later, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. All throughout the scripture. And this is just one. I mean, there are many things I could talk about. Predestination, glorification, justification. But I'm just talking about the calling, only because this is how Jesus brings us into his kingdom. That those moreover whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So he's saving people. He's calling people out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Amen. Our holiness is directly tied to the Holy One who called us. My God, I wish someone had told me that when I first got saved. Come on now. I don't know if you struggle, but I struggle because I want to live right. I want to live holy. And you trying to keep it straight, and you trying to ward off all these temptations, all things you got, and you thinking that the holiness has to do with you. Dear gracious. It was years. It was years before I recognized that if you're gonna live a holy life, the holiness, the seed of that, the root of it all, is him in you. It's not you. It's him in you. And so then all the attention must be on him and not you. So I had to stop looking at, I don't know if I'm keeping it again. Keep my eyes focused on me. No, put your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking at him. Don't take your eyes off of him. Walk where he walks. Talk what he talks. Come on, live where he lives. You will find yourself living holy. You will find yourself living holy. But our holiness is tied to his person. To his person. We're trying to live a certain way. He says, no, you need to be connected to my person. You're trying to do, I want you to be with me. God is doing so much that the earth is filled with the works of God. He's doing, there's so much everywhere you look, you see his hand, his handiwork. So we need to give attention to what he is doing, lest we be discouraged by the works of man. Nothing that God determines to do can be stopped. Nothing that he determines to do can be annulled. Job learned it the hard way, but he learned it. At the end of his trial, in Job 42, verse 2, he says this, I know that you can do everything. Oh, my goodness. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. God, Job says, I know that whatever it is you determine you're going to do, no one can stop it. It cannot be withheld. Beloved, that is such good news, because when God determined to save you and me, nothing could stop it. Nothing could stop it. Not even you. Hello? Oh, boy, I tell you what. You just missed an opportunity to run up and dance and shout and run down the street. Hallelujah. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. In other words, not only what God says comes to pass, what he thinks comes to pass. Now, when you think that through, not only the power, but the morality, the pureness. Know this about God. He has never thought anything wrong, sinful, impure. Listen, he has never thought it. You and I are attacked all day long with impure motives, all kinds of things, you know, thoughts run through our mind. But him, never. Can't happen. Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. The longer I walk with him, the longer I know him, the more emboldened I'm getting in what it means to walk with him. I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm just, because he's filling my vision. We sang a song today. Jesus be my center, you know. Come on, he's filling, he fills heavens of heavens, the Bible says, cannot contain him. So he's filling all that is. I believe in these last days, as things increase and as things go further, and as you and I mature in our walk with the Lord, as Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was stoned to death and his vision was filled with a resurrected Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He was facing death on earth, but in the spirit, he was beholding his Lord in glory. He could not be dissuaded. It didn't matter what was going on here. Stones were hitting him, and he's looking up in the glory and says, I see heaven open. Come on, can you imagine this? Because in his walk with God, in his maturity as God would bring him to the grace of God that was upon his life to be a martyr, that as he was going through all that he was going through on this earth, yet he beheld heaven open and the glory of God. Beloved, I believe that's where it's going to be for you and I. As we mature, as we walk with God, as we know him more, as we go through this life, no matter what we experience, we'll be experiencing one thing on this plane, but we'll be experiencing something totally different on another plane that will cause us to be able to go through whatever we have to go through. What do you think? I mean, what do you think for those 21 Coptic Christians that ISIS put in those orange jumpsuits, had them kneel down? then they took the blade. Where do you think those Christians were? God gives you grace to go through a time like that. Hello. He gives you grace to go through that. That while even while you're on this plane being martyred, that on another spiritual plane, Christ is holding your hand. Be strong. Don't deny my name. Remain steadfast. Come on. When John the Baptist was wavering, Jesus said, the blind eyes are open, gospel being preached. He says, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. He said, stay the course, John. Stay the course. And John stayed the course. Isaiah 14, 26. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed. And who will annul it? His hand is stretched out. And who will turn it back? Oh, Lord. God is the only one who can talk like this. I don't know if you saw the image. There was a 10K race run yesterday. And the man, and they're coming to the finish line. And this one guy is running. And he sees that he's right at the tape. He's right at the tape. And he throws his hand up like this because he's going to win. But there was another guy right behind him that he did not hear. And this man, he was a British man. He was in full stride, wide open. And it was a photo finish. It took him hours to determine who won. But the guy who was celebrating says, I'm the one. I'm the one. He lost. He lost by... He started celebrating too soon. God is the only one who can say, I'm the one. And there ain't nobody. Listen, there's nobody in the race. Hello? Because there's nobody like him. There's none as holy as the Lord. There's no, when he says, I'm the one, it's not like that guy who was, I won. And he found out, oh, I'm second. Hello? When God says he the one, have you ever done that, mommy? You never done that? I pray the grace of God on you that you never do it. I pray. Oh my goodness. See, because we need to thank God that we even in the race. Forget running and celebrating early. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that I'm out here running. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Come on, let humility be our portion. Amen. All right. What is he doing? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19 reads, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Having been built, Jesus says, I am building my church. Daniel talked about the kingdom that would come after the statue of gold, silver, bronze, so forth. He said after that, he says a kingdom is going to rise up and it's going to be built of which it will fill the whole earth. Speaking of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What is Jesus building? His church? Yes. But he's building a dwelling place. Remember, David had it in his heart. He says, I built me a house. Thank you, God. But he said, I want to build you a house. And the prophet came to him and said, God said, it's good that it was in your heart, but you can't build my house. He said, I'm going to use your son to build my house. And then God said to him, God doesn't dwell in a house made with hands. And so Solomon was a foreshadowing of God's son, of the son of David. He was the son of David, but Jesus Christ was the son of David. And Jesus said, I'm going to come. He said, I've come to build a house. I've come to build the dwelling place of God. God talked about Zion. God talked about Zion, and he said this, Zion is the place where I have longed to live. Zion, not the Mount Zion over in Jerusalem, but the spiritual Zion. He says, I have longed to live there. You know what spiritual Zion is? It's you. It's you. Think about that. God has longed to live in you. In us. And so Jesus comes and he's building this church. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Listen, he's building your life. Not only are you part of the building, you're a member of the building, but he's building your life. That's why your life is changing. That's why it's, that's why you're maturing. That's why you're growing in grace and in knowledge. That's why you aren't the same person now that you were years ago. Why? Because he's building in you. He's constructing things. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Which temple you are. The Christian has no choice, but not only they do have a choice, but the Christian's destiny is holiness. Your destiny, why? Because he who called you is holy. So the Christian life, so I don't have to be all worried about it. Can I do it? Oh, you're gonna. Hello, wait a second. Do you know who's living in you? As he who called you is holy, so be ye holy in all conduct. The Holy One lives inside. Guess what? If the root is holy, the fruit's gonna be holy. If the root is holy, the fruit will be holy. The root is Jesus. That means the fruit of my life will be holy. Hebrews 3:4, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. What do you build a house for? To live in it. In the Old Testament, when Solomon got done building the house, what happened? The Spirit of God came down, filled the temple. Filled the temple. The book of Ezekiel seeing visions and so forth, the Spirit of God departed and left the temple. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus built the house, the spiritual house. And once he built the spiritual house, just like Solomon built the natural house, and the fire of God came down and the cloud of his glory filled the temple. In Acts chapter 2, when Jesus built the spiritual temple, the Spirit of God came and the scripture says it filled the house where they were sitting. And every one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost according to the pattern. That as they built the house, the Spirit of God would inhabit it and fill it. So it happened in the New Testament. And so we are encouraged. We are told to be filled with the Spirit, to live Spirit-filled lives. He's building his church. As living stones, you're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here we are in the kingdom of heaven, in the church, the called out ones who are being built up a spiritual house. And remember now, the scripture says here that you're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Here again, even in that, we see the calling, because you couldn't be a priest just because you wanted to be a priest. God taught some people about that. He wiped a few out because of that. You had to be of the tribe of Aaron to be a priest. And so in the New Testament, it's no different. We are priests because we've been called. We've been called and chosen. But the priests also offered. But unlike the Old Testament pattern where it was oblation, where it was blood sacrifice, Scripture says here that we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. And those spiritual sacrifices, Hebrews 13:15 says, by him let us therefore offer up the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so thanks would be one, praise, prayer, so forth and so on. But then to do all of that, we must first give ourselves. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. As a holy priesthood, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We offer our bodies holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And from those bodies offered comes the prayer and the praise and the deeds, the good works that flow through us because of him. Since God cannot be stopped, and what he is doing for us and in our best interest, what he is doing is for us and in our best interest, we give ourselves totally to his work. In so doing, we will find that we cannot be stopped. If God cannot be stopped in what he's doing, and God lives in you, then you cannot be stopped as God fulfills his purpose and intention through you. Amen. So much so, I'll close with this, Acts 5:35. When the Sanhedrin was trying to put down the gospel that Peter and John was preaching, it was Gamaliel who said, you do well to leave them alone. He says, because if it is of God, listen, you cannot overthrow it. You cannot stop it. Lest you even be found to fight against God. God cannot be stopped. Oh, and we're so thankful. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We agree with you, oh God, that what you are doing, no one can overthrow it. No one can stand against it. No one can stop it, oh God. And so we pray, oh Lord, for your purpose, your will, Lord, the thoughts and intents of your heart, oh God, that they would be accomplished and brought to pass, oh God, in our lives, Lord, in our churches, in our families, oh God. Father, yes, Lord, in these United States of America, Father, but not only here, oh God. Father, we thank you because your work is a global work. Your work, Lord, is a work that fills the earth. And so your will be done in Ghana and in Uganda and in Somalia, oh God, and in Israel, oh God, in China and Germany, in North Korea, oh my God, in Vietnam, oh God, Lord, in these, Lord, may your will and your purpose be brought to pass, oh God, Lord, to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Rule the nations with the rod of iron, oh God. Lord, the rod of your word, oh God, that you speak. Father, we thank you that you are King of Kings, Jesus. You are Lord of Lords, and that you rule on high. And so we pray, Lord, in all things and at all times, Father, that your will would be done. Your kingdom would come in Jesus' precious and holy name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.